It's gonna get picked up.
The judge said 22 exhibits today.
Oh, really?
Are we ready?
I'm ready.
Bill, are you ready?
Yes, Your Honor.
All right, let's start. For the record, it's a few minutes after 9, December 17th, 2010. This is a time and place scheduled in the Public Service Commission hearing room in the state capitol in Bismarck, North Dakota, for the hearing in the matter of Coteau Properties Company, notice of violation number 1004. My name's Alan Hoberg. I'm the designated hearing officer today with the Office of Administrative Hearings. We'll take appearances from counsel at this time, starting with you, Mr. Biella, please.
Yes, Your Honor. My name is Brian Biella with the law firm of Crowley Fleck, representing the Coteau Properties Company. Along with me is Chris Fries.
Thank you. He's representing the company.
Yes, also with Crowley Fleck.
All right. And we've passed around a sign-up sheet, so I think we have everybody that's over there. If you didn't, everybody get on the sign-up sheet? Okay. Mr. Grumman, please.
Mark Gurman, Legal Counsel, Public Service Commission. I'm here representing staff. Next to me is Jim Deitch, Director of Reclamations of the Public Service Commission.
Thank you. And, of course, to my left are members of the Public Service Commission, Commissioner Tony Clark, Commission Chairman Kevin Kramer, and Commissioner Brian Kalk. Shortly, beginning with Commissioner Kramer, who has the reclamation portfolio, I'll ask them for their opening comments. But first, I'm going to give a brief summary, some background information. On October 4th of this year, the Public Service Commission Reclamation Division issued Notice of Violation 1004 to Coteau Properties for failure to install the appropriate measures to control erosion and sedimentation from a section of Hall Road at the Freedom Mine. On October 29th, the Commission received a request for a formal hearing from Coteau Properties in this matter. On November 2, 2010, the Reclamation Division issued a modification of Notice of Violation 1004. On November 24th of this year, the Commission issued a Notice of Formal Hearing scheduling today's hearing under North Dakota Century Code Chapter 3814.1. We've held a couple of pre-hearing conferences in this matter. The first one was on December 15th, 2010, at which we identified the issues for this hearing. And the issues are the following. Along with this request for hearing, Coteau Properties did file a motion to vacate the hearing, which the commission will have to take under advisement. We're obviously holding the hearing anyway today, but there is a motion to vacate that is pending based on the fact of an inappropriate or inadequate identification of a location. Erroneous, I guess, is a better word. So the allegation, one of the first allegation, the first issue is the erroneous location in NOV 1004. But again, that was amended by the modification issued later. The second issue identified is an allegation of violation of North Dakota Administrative Code, Section 6905.2, 1608, Subsection 1C. And the third issue is allegation of violation of North Dakota Administrative Code, Section 6905.2, 2401, Subsection 2A. And, of course, both of those relate to the failure to install appropriate measures to control erosion and sedimentation. Then the final issue that will be considered will be if the violations, the second two issues are proven, what should be the penalties for the violation, if any, and we have the four factors involved under North Dakota Century Code Section 3814.1, 32, Subsection 1, Subdivisions A through D. At this time, I'll call on the commissioners for their opening comments. Commissioner Kramer, please.
Thank you, Your Honor, and thanks, everyone, for being here. I don't have a lot to say because, of course, the record is to this point is quite skimpy, which is unusual for us. Usually, in so many of the situations that we adjudicate, we have a huge record before the hearing, and so there's not a lot at this point to comment on, and I think that's appropriate. It's always a little bit awkward when the agency that is you know, that is involved as one of the parties to the case is also the agency that adjudicates it, and so it's appropriate that at this point we don't know very much about it, and that gives me some comfort. So I've been somewhat anxious to get to the facts of the case, and I appreciate the work everyone's put into it, and I also appreciate the new arrangement of the hearing room. We'll have to see how all of this works, but I'm glad to see we're using some of the technology that has been here for quite some time, and I hope that that hasn't disrupted you know, the parties too much. It'll be a nice experiment while we also get to the point and to the justice of this case. So thank you all for your participation.
Thank you, Commissioner Kramer. Commissioner Clark, please.
Just good morning and welcome.
Thank you, Commissioner Cock, please.
Good morning. Thank you for your work, and get to work, I guess.
Thank you, commissioners. At the second pre-hearing conference, we talked about stipulation as to the evidence, and the procedure today is that all of the evidence is going to come in because there's no objection as to foundation. And assuming it's all relevant, which we will at this point in time unless there's an objection, I believe we have Exhibits 1 through 22 submitted by the Reclamation Division, and I'm going to admit Exhibits 1 through 16 and 21 through 22 and take official notice of Exhibits 17 through 20 since those relate to statutes, or I should say rules, and documents already on the record in this matter. So they'll all be entered on the record as admitted or officially noticed. And as to Katoa's Exhibits 1 through 22, I believe, also there's no objection to those as to foundation. So those will be admitted. I think this is an appropriate time to provide those documents to the commissioners so they have the documents that we're referring to, and we will be referring to virtually all of them during the course of the hearing, I believe. Commissioner Call.
You know, I would have a question for you and the fellow commissioners. You know, this is 22 documents I've never seen before, and I would prefer to read through them a little bit before we start having people testify to them. And I just wanted to hear what your gentleman's thoughts on that, even if it's just 15, 20 minutes or if the pace is such that we have time to review when these witnesses go through it. I don't have a problem with that, but I would just like to bring that question out, concern out, I would say.
Well,
I don't know if these are one-page documents or these are 50-page documents.
Some of them are fairly long, I think. Some of them are maps.
And I certainly respect that. I've prepared a cover sheet, and perhaps what we could do is I could disseminate them, and then if Mr. Cox still has considerations or concerns, that we can go from there.
Well, it's my understanding that the parties, through the witnesses, are going to go through all of the exhibits, and we'll refer to the exhibits, of course, and identify them as we go through, and they'll be explaining. You know, I understand that you don't have them beforehand, which isn't, I know it's not common for your situation, but
most folks do it that way. Yeah. I get that.
But if at any time, commissioners, you want to slow down, you want to take a little time to look at something, and so you can ask questions. But you know, we'll be going through these, and your questions will follow later. Sure. So hopefully, there'll be enough.
I just want to bring that out just in case it gets to where
right.
Like, spend some more time. With
right. Let us know if you want to spend some more time as we're going through. Okay. Why don't we pass out the exhibits, hand them out to the commissioners and to the parties.
How many do you want, Mark?
That's an
three.
For our end,
yeah.
That's some solution.
We'll give more than that.
Oh, perfect. I'll give you the extra then.
Okay. I suspect that's my
one.
He gave me an extra.
Give me here, Brian.
Over here.
These are all our.
These are, and this are prop companies. It's over here.
Well, that's not too bad.
Court reporter.
I'm good.
Court reporter.
And as we're passing these out, of course, I know council are aware of this, but we'll be referring to the exhibits by the exhibit numbers when we're talking about them. And so the commissioners will have an idea, and I will have an idea of which exhibit we're talking about. Thank you, council. Here's the hearing procedure we'll follow today. The Reclamation Division will proceed first, and they'll be calling two witnesses, I believe, Mr. Guman. Their witnesses will be up at the podium up there. And after they identify themselves, they'll be talking about their exhibits, which will be on the screens there. All of your exhibits will be on the screens?
Correct.
All right. Okay, and it'll be direct examination by Mr. Grumman, cross-examination by Mr. Biela if he has questions, then questions by the commissioners, of course, and then we'll follow that with any further questions by counsel or the commissioners as necessary. Upon completion of the Reclamation Division's presentation of its case, I'll call on Coteau to present its case. And, Mr. Biela, you have three or four witnesses?
Four, Your Honor.
Four witnesses. They will all be over at the witness chair over to my left, where witnesses usually are, or under the traditional method. There will be direct examination by Mr. Biela, cross-examination by Mr. Grumman, if he has any. And then questions by the commissioners, then such further questions by counsel and the commissioners as necessary. And again, I've already admitted, I think maybe I forgot to actually say that I admitted exhibits 1 through 22 of Coteau. So those also are admitted. I already indicated that the Reclamation Division's exhibits are admitted. And the proceedings are being tape recorded and recorded by a court reporter. Our court reporter today is Linda Gingery. Thank you. And, of course, all testimony today is under oath. And I think I'll just give that admonition once today since we have so many witnesses. And this is for the benefit of all of the witnesses testifying here today. I'm required by law to tell all witnesses at administrative hearings that the maximum penalty for perjury in this state is a Class C felony, punishable by a maximum 5 years imprisonment, $5,000 fine, or both. And, of course, perjury is essentially not telling the truth at a hearing such as this. And when I swear you in, I'll ask you a couple more questions and then swear you in at that time when you testify. But you've heard the admonition already. The burden of proof today, or the burden of persuasion in this matter, rests with the Reclamation Division to prove the allegations of the modified notice of violation 1004 by the greater weight of the evidence. And finally, if a party doesn't agree with the final decision of the Public Service Commission, which they'll be issuing sometime following the conclusion of this hearing, they may have appeal rights or other rights under the Administrative Agencies Practice Act, Chapter 2832 of the North Dakota Century Code, and the rules and statutes of the commission. So finally, we all have mics, or at least most of the people here have mics. I think it would be appreciated if you're not speaking to turn your mic off. Mine has a blue light to show that it's on. Some of them perhaps have a green light to show that they're on. Green and red. Red is off, green is on. So if you're not speaking, please turn your mic off. All right. Any questions, Mr. Biela, about the procedures?
No, Your Honor.
Thank you. Mr. Grumman.
No, Your Honor, I should just note before I indicated that all my exhibits were on the smart board that it was incorrect. Actually, exhibits 1 through 15 will be, 16 through 21 will not.
Okay. Thank you.
All
right. Before we start the evidentiary portion, did you wish to make an opening statement, Mr. Grumman?
A very brief opening statement, yes, Your Honor.
Please.
Thank you. Good morning. As you know, the purpose of today's hearing is for you to determine whether good cause exists to absolve Coteau of any violations cited in NOV 1004. Proceedings today will center upon a haul road constructed at the Freedom Mine, specifically a ditch located on the north side of this same haul road. Mr. Mike Berg and Mr. Dean Mose from Reclamation staff will testify that Coteau failed to install the appropriate measures to control and prevent erosion and siltation of this north haul road ditch as required by commission rules. Mr. Mose will also testify concerning the appropriateness of the $1,500 penalty. PSC staff respectfully requests that the commission finds Coteau in violation of provisions of NDAC 69-5.2-24-01 parent 2 parent A and 69-5.2-24-01 69-05.2-16-08, parent 1, parent C, and that you assess the $1,500 civil penalty that was previously proposed. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Grubin. Mr. Biela, any opening?
No, Your Honor.
All right. Okay, please call your first witness, Mr. Grubin. And I'm going to ask all of the witnesses before they testify to state their full name and spell it for the record, please.
Michael Berg, M-I-C-H-A-E-L-B-E-R-G.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Berg. And did you hear the admonition I gave earlier in regard to perjury?
I did.
Being advised of the penalty for perjury, do you promise to tell the truth in this matter being heard? If so, answer, I do.
I
do. Thank you. Mr. Grubin, please.
Where are you employed, Mr. Berg? How long have you been employed with the state of North Dakota?
I've been employed with the state for over eight years, 4 years at Water Quality Division and 4+ years here at the Commission.
What is your educational background?
I have a bachelor's degree in Ag and Biosystems Engineering from the University of NDSU, which I graduated in 2007.
Do you have any professional licenses?
I'm a registered licensed professional engineer in the state of North Dakota.
And when did you receive that license?
2007.
What are your duties with the commission?
I review and permit applications, revisions, also do inspections, and enforce the laws of reclamation for the state.
Have you received any special training directly relevant to today's proceedings?
I received surface and groundwater hydrology in 2007 and permitting hydrology in 2008.
How would you define water management for mining purposes?
Water management on a mine, if water comes in contact with disturbed areas, it has to be contained or flow through a BMP before discharging off the mine.
Concerning
a BMP?
Oh, sorry, best management practice.
Thank you.
May I proceed, Your Honor?
Yes.
Thank you. Concerning your inspection duties, approximately how many inspections have you completed during the course of your career?
Over 170.
And how about the Freedom Mine in particular?
70 have been at the Freedom Mine.
How many of those inspections concern the issues of water management?
In some way, shape, or form, most if not all of them have.
Generally speaking, where is the Freedom Mine?
Located northwest of Beulah, North Dakota.
Is that too fast? Okay,
by all means, please solicit. Thank you. Proceeding to September 2nd, were you at the Freedom Mine on that day in question?
Yes, I was conducting a complete inspection with Mr. Guy Welch, our reclamation staff.
And for the purpose of the record, could you please define, what is a complete inspection?
A complete inspection is an inspection where we look at all permits and all aspects of mining.
And of course, today here we're concerning NOV 1004. When you say permit inspection, did that include on September 2nd NACT 8102 and NACT 8203?
Yes, it did.
Mr. Berg, could you please turn on this? Well, maybe we'll just have you turn on that as well. It'll just one brief second, it's just going to warm up. Thank you. Mr. Berg, on the flat screen here is a photograph marked PSC Staff Exhibit 1. What is this?
Mr. Grubin, I'm sorry. Maybe you want to move the mic a little over that way because you're speaking that way. And
you want me to move it?
Yeah.
I'll tell you what. Let me just move this book. How's this, Your Honor?
Yeah, so it's a little in front of you. Yeah, that would be good. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you. On the flat screen monitor here is a PSC Staff Exhibit 1 photograph. What is this photograph?
This is a 2010 aerial photo. It's an NAIP aerial photo, which is taken by the federal government, which we have access to.
What would be NAI?
National Agricultural Imagery.
Something like that.
Okay. It's okay. Used for in the FSA offices for ground cover.
And can the audience in the back, can you see or would you like him to move to the other side when he's explaining? Okay, if so, just let us know. Can you?
Is that Mike Connell?
Yes. Okay. We have several. First off, which way is north, south, east, and west on this photograph?
North is up, south is down, east and west.
If you could just describe some of the landmarks you can be seeing on this photograph for us.
Up at the north. Northwest is the Freedom Office. South of that is Antelope Valley Station, and south of that is Dakota Gasification. The red lines on this aerial photograph represent the permit boundaries.
If you could define maybe 8102 and 8203 for us using that.
Yeah, 8102 runs, this is only a portion of it, but it follows this red line down over, comes down.
This red line won't come off on the record very well. You're talking about towards the north, the top half of the...
Sorry. It cross-sects section 18, following down north half of section 19. It skirts down into section 24, and then up into section 13.
And how about 8203?
Cross-sects section 18 again on the east half, includes section 17 and the northwest quarter of section 20.
And lastly, today we're various times we're going to be referring to what's been referred to as a haul road. Could you please just describe where this haul road in question is located on PSC staff exhibit 1?
It goes across section 18 from southwest to the northeast.
And using your finger, could you just point to the intersection of 8102, 8203, and the Hall Road?
It would be near the center of Section 18, located in the southeast quarter.
Thank you, Mr. Berg. Proceeding to the smart board to your left, could you please proceed to the next slide? You have here what's been marked as PSC Staff Exhibit 2. What is this document?
This document is it's the post-mining topography map from Revision 48 to Permit 8102. It's the same area shown in Exhibit 1. Shows the contours of the area.
And it's what's referred to as a topographical map, is that correct?
Correct.
Thank you. Could you please proceed to the next slide? And what is this document? I'm showing it's been marked as PSC Staff Exhibit 2A. What is this document?
This is the same as PSC Staff Exhibit 2, only the yellow arrows indicate the directional flow of the water on the reclaimed area.
Could you please... on PSC Staff Exhibit 2A, and try to describe somewhat, where is the haul road located on that map?
The haul road is shown in the brown line from the southwest to the northeast across Section 18.
The bottom brown line?
Correct.
And that it's kind of bisecting the middle of the document, is that correct?
Correct.
And then for our purposes, could you again, as you did with PSC Staff Exhibit 1, just show the intersection of the Hall Road and 8102 and 8203?
It would be the red line again represents, section 18 represents the permit boundary. So your intersection would be in the southeast of 18.
Where the red and brown line meet, approximately the center of the exhibit?
Now, before you had testified that you were at the Freedom Mine on September 2nd, 2010, on that day during your complete inspection, did you observe anything of relevance to today's proceedings?
Yes, I did.
And what did you observe?
At the intersection of the permit boundaries and the Hall Road, there's a culvert located, or approximately there. On the south side of that culvert, a large area of sedimentation was located to the southeast.
Okay, so what you're doing is you're pointing to a PSC Staff Exhibit 2A, And are you, again, pointing to the specific location of the intersection of 8102, 8203, and the Hall Road?
Correct.
And is that this location you're talking about, again, just for clarification, is that on the north side or the south side of the Hall Road?
The south side.
Thank you. Now, you testified that during your inspection on September 2nd, you noticed a large accumulation of sediment. Once you made that observation, what did you do next?
At that time, Mr. Schmidt from Karen Schmidt from Coteau Properties was with me. I informed him that the area needed to be cleaned up and that silt fences possibly need to be installed in this area.
Did you inspect the north side of the Hall Road at this location at that time?
No, I did not.
And why not?
The south side was area of sediment. It was acting as a sump, and it was routine maintenance. So that's the area we were concentrated on. Didn't.
I'm not sure if you got that name of the person that was with him. Did you? Okay. Please continue.
Thank you, Your Honor. So just for clarification, your observations September 2nd concerning the south side of the Hall Road, is NOV 104 a result of those observations?
No.
Then why are your observations, why are they relevant to today's proceedings on September 2nd?
Because the sediment, the south side of the Hall Road had been stabilized with concrete matting, and sediment had to come from someplace.
Thank you. Proceeding to September 29th, then, 2010, did you again inspect portions of permits 8102 and 8203 of the Freedom Mine?
Yes, I did.
And why did you perform the inspection on that date?
It was just a follow-up to see if the sump had been maintained.
Okay, when you say follow-up on whether the sump was maintained, so you're saying you wanted to follow-up on the observations you just testified to concerning September 2nd?
Correct.
Thank you. Proceeding to then September 29th, 2010, what did you observe on that day in question?
Sediment was still on the south side of the Hall Road. The sediment had not been removed yet. At that time, we took a look at the north side of the Hall Road and noticed that there was sediment deposited on reclaimed topsoil.
Mr. Burke, could you please proceed to the next slide? Now, we have here what's marked on the slide as PSC Staff Exhibit 3. What is this document?
This is a picture of the south side of the Hall Road at the culvert location. So the sediment in the middle is what I was indicating needed to be removed. You can also see sediment positioned, would actually be to the south, farther out.
And if you like, by all means, please proceed to PSC Staff Exhibit 1 if you think it would further clarify your answer. But it's up to you. Now we're referring to what's been marked as PSC Staff Exhibit 1.
The sediment was located on the south side of the Hall Road at the intersection of permit 8102 and 8203 and near the center of Section 18. As you can see from the aerial photo, this area has not been resprayed with topsoil and is acting as a sump where it collected the sediment.
Thank you. Could you please proceed back to the slide before? And again, we're looking at PSC Staff Exhibit 3. Do you know when that this photograph was taken?
Taken September 29th.
And that was during your inspection?
During the inspection.
Thank you. Please proceed to the next slide. What's been displayed has been marked PSC Staff Exhibit 4. What is this document itself?
This is a photograph taken again on September 29th of the north side of the Hall Road at the intersection of 8102, 8203, and the
And why is this relevant to today's proceedings, if you could just explain?
Mr. Berg, I don't know if you're coming through real well on that. You need to kind of testify into the mic and point as you can.
Okay. This area has been reclaimed upstream. You can see a reclaimed stock pond located to the north. There's sediment that was deposited in the Hall Road ditch, as well as deposited out on the reclaimed topsoil.
And why is that relevant to today's proceedings?
Deposition of sediment on topsoil is a violation. There have been written in the past a violation for such matters.
So you made these observations. What happened next?
Proceeded back to the office, showed the photographs to Mr. Jim Deutsch and Mr. Dean Moose on the morning of the 30th. At that time, after discussing it with them, Dean and I decided to go back up and further investigate the area.
And did you do so?
We did.
Please explain. When you say went back up, so are you talking September 30th then?
On September 30th, we went back up to the Freedom Line, Catoctin.
So beginning at when you and Mr. Moe's traveled to the Freedom Line on September 30th, what happened next?
When we arrived at the office, we had a short discussion with Coteau personnel. From there, we proceeded out to the Hall Road, to the intersection by 8102 and 8203, to further investigate this area.
Upon arrival, what did you observe?
We started on the south side. The sediment was, as shown in Exhibit 1, Exhibit 3, hadn't been removed yet. It was still there. Basically, we saw the same thing. The sediment was deposited on top of topsoil on the north side of the Hall Road ditch.
Just backing up a little bit, why did you start with the south side first again? It
just easier to access. We parked on the south side to stay off the Hall Road.
What happened next?
After that, we proceeded down the ditch, proceeded around the area to investigate where the sediment was coming from.
Now, you testified, and of course, PSC staff Exhibit 4 indicates that there was an amount of sedimentation that you noticed on the north side. Did you make an estimation as far as how large this sedimentation area was?
Yes, I did. Using my GPS on my mobile computer, my tablet computer, I walked the area. The area was approximately 2,800 square feet located on top of topsoil. It was approximately 4 to 8 inches in depth.
What did this size of sedimentation indicate to you?
That there was more erosion than normal, typically.
Could you please proceed to the next slide? Thank you. What's been displayed has been marked PSC Staff Exhibit 5. What is this document?
This is a picture looking to the looking to the southwest, approximately at the culvert location. This is the towers located in the center of the picture, Antelope Valley Station. The sediment is located in the ditch bottom. The stripping edge is approximately where Miss Unruh and I are standing in that photo, and the sediment is deposited out to the right of the picture if you're looking at it.
Who is standing with you at the center of the photo?
Jessica Unruh, Miss Jessica Unruh.
From Coteau?
Coteau property.
So okay. You'll be the two parties on the left?
Correct.
There. Okay. Maybe even for further clarification, if you wouldn't mind proceeding over to PSC Staff Exhibit 1, from the view of where this photograph was taken and what direction that photographer was facing?
Would have been at the intersection of the permit boundary and the Hall Road. Looking to the southwest.
Thank you. Just one more question concerning PSC Staff Exhibit 5. Before you testify that there was a sedimentation deposit that was 2,800 square feet in your estimation, 48 inches thick, is that what's displayed here on PSC Staff Exhibit 5?
A portion of it is. The portion where the weeds are shown on the right-hand side of the photo going to the right is the portion that has been reclaimed.
Thank you. Now, proceeding on, what happened next?
From there, we looked at the ditch bottoms.
Well, backing up a little bit, did you see any indications of some pooling of some water?
Yes, there was.
And utilizing PSC Staff Exhibit 5, if, during your testimony, could you please explain what observation you made in that regard?
On September, or Katoa notified us that on September 9th they had received a large rain event. If Mr. Schmidt and Mr. Friedlander are located in, standing to the right in the photo, or actually standing on the high water mark, the strand line of that pool area of the rain event.
Thank you. Now, I guess I interrupted you before. I asked you what happened next, and you had discussed about making some observations concerning a ditch. Please proceed from there.
Upon inspection there, Mr. Mose and I, or you should say I noticed that the ditch bottoms had large gullies cut into the bottom of
them. Okay, I'm just going to stop you there. Perhaps for clarification, if you could proceed to PSC Staff Exhibit 1. When we're talking about a ditch, where exactly is that ditch located on this flat screen here?
It runs parallel to the Hall Road all the way through Section 18.
So it's beginning from pretty much, if you could show again here and kind of just explain.
The ditch actually flows the whole distance. The area of concern is from the permit boundary of 8102 and 8203, heading to the southwest and heading to the northeast.
Thank you.
So it's along the whole length of the Hall Road?
There's a ditch along the whole length.
On the north side?
On the north side.
All right.
You testified that during your observations concerning the ditch, that you noticed a gully. Just one moment here. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay, what observations did you make concerning the gully, if you could explain?
The gully was approximately 6 to 18 inches wide and approximately 6 to 24, range from 6 to 24 inches deep. If I could go to a step.
Please do. Please proceed to the next slide. Thank you. And what's been displayed is PSC Staff Exhibit 6. What is this document?
This is a document, or this is a picture of the North Hall Road running to the northeast along the north side ditch, approximately at the culvert or permit boundary of 8102 and 8203.
When was this photograph taken?
This was taken on September 30th.
Could you please proceed to the next slide? Thank you. It's been displayed here as PSC Staff Exhibit 7. What is this document?
This is a picture looking to the northwest again of the Hall Road ditch. The gully, which I was describing earlier, ranged from 68 inches in width, 6 to 24 inches in depth, ran approximately 750 feet to the northeast and approximately 450 feet to the southwest.
Maybe just for clarification, if you could proceed over to PSC Staff Exhibit 1, just explain on this where the gully is located in relation to the Hall Road.
The location where I was stating was at the intersection of the permit boundary and the Hall Road.
And you said 750 northeast and 450 southwest. Could you please explain that?
Correct.
PSC Staff Exhibit 1?
So from the culvert distance, there's a couple of tree rows that are actually located there. Those are to the northwest or northeast and the southwest.
Okay, and if you could explain maybe just relative, I mean, how far are we talking here? How many inches?
Depends on your scale.
Well, I understand that. I'm just trying to describe here, if you could just explain. I mean, where does it start and where does it end?
If you start at the permit boundary and go to that first, where the color changes on your photo, there's a green row of trees in there running to the north and south, and there's also to the northeast, there's a row of trees running to the east and west.
Thank you. What type of material eroded to form the gully?
Spoil material.
And how do you know that?
That's what the whole road was constructed out of in this area.
You can please proceed to the next slide. It's been displayed, has been marked PSC staff exhibit 8. What is this document?
This is a photograph looking to the southwest again, or the ditch bottom. It's the gully in the bottom of the ditch. In the background, you can see a couple of towers from DGC.
Are there any other features that you feel noteworthy in this photograph?
The vegetation in the bottom of the ditch bottom, you can still see the drill rows. It's sparsely vegetated.
Thank you. You please proceed to the next slide. We have here what's been marked as PSC staff exhibit 9. What is this document?
This is just an up-close photograph of those of the previous document with a hard hat in it to show the severity of the gully.
Again, now when was this photograph taken?
September 30th.
The other comments you'd like to make?
Again, the vegetation is sparse.
Now, you testified that the quote-unquote the vegetation was sparse. What effect would this have upon erosion control?
Sparse vegetation would help to minimize it, but it would not do a whole lot to mitigate it.
On this topic, is if you could proceed back to PSC staff exhibit 5. Now, you would... 5, please. Thank you. Now, you previously testified concerning the sparsity and inadequate erosion control. What does this PSC staff exhibit 5 indicate in that regard?
That more erosion occurred than normal or should have.
Was there any vegetative cover in the gully?
In the gully, no.
Mr. Berger, are you familiar with North Dakota Administrative Code 69-05.2-16-08, parent 1?
Yes.
And are you familiar with North Dakota Administrative Code 69-05.2-24-01, subdivision 2, parent A?
Yes.
In regard to these two admin codes, did Coteau make any efforts in regard to their mandates under the administrative codes?
They had seeded the ditch, and they had mulched the ditch when it was first constructed, but that was over a year ago.
Did Coteau meet their obligations pursuant to these two admin codes?
No.
Why not?
Because it wasn't the best technology currently available.
What additional efforts should have been undertaken by Coteau, in your opinion?
Erosion control fabric, silt fences, possibly rock check dams, concrete matting, similar to what was done on the south side.
And what would those mechanisms have done?
The erosion control matting would have slowed the flow of the water, as well as the silt fences, helped to contain the sediment upstream of this area prior to going to the culvert.
Now, during your testing, we've been focused on the north side of the haul road, and NOV 1004 only concerns the north side of the haul road, not the south, correct?
Correct.
And why not? Why not the south?
Because the south already had concrete matting located in the drainage and was controlling erosion on that side.
Were there gullies on the south side?
No.
Is it likely that the south side and the north side of the haul road received the same amount of rainfall?
Yes.
Did the south side receive the same amount of runoff as the north side?
No.
Why not?
If I can go to...
Please do. You're proceeding to what's been marked as PSC staff exhibit 2A. Please proceed.
On this exhibit, you can see that the flow into the road ditch on the north side of the road is into it. On the south side of the road, the water flows away from the road ditches. So the north side of the road had a watershed to actually carry more water than the south side did.
Mr. Berg, you testified that there's a gully on the north side. In your opinion, how long had that gully existed prior to your observations of September 30th?
Prior to September 2nd.
And please substantiate your position. Why have you come to that conclusion, to that opinion?
Since the south side of the road was stabilized and did not show signs of erosion, even on the 30th, the sediment had to come from someplace. And since there was no other erosion noted when walking around the area upstream through the drainage, the likely place is the hollow ditches.
Are there any extenuating circumstances that you're aware of that would absolve Katoa of NOV 1004?
No.
In summary, why was NOV 1004 issued against Katoa?
Because the best management practices were not used to control erosion in the bottom of the ditch.
Now, you testified before concerning a major rainfall event in September.
Yes.
And clearly, you've done a number of inspections at the Freedom Mine. Have there been places where Katoa put in and utilized best management practices pursuant to their mandates? Those best management practices failed, and you did not issue an NOV?
Yes.
Please explain. Please proceed.
Actually, on September 29th, we drove several roads, but one in particular was a haul road that was constructed in section 34, which ran up to an SPGM pile. Silt fences were in place on this haul road. Silt fences were full of sediment, had washed out. There was no NOV written on this area because the best management practices were in place.
SPGM, that's suitable plank growth material?
Yes, sorry.
That's fine. Do you please proceed to what will be marked as PSC Staff Exhibit 10? Thank you. What is this document?
This is a picture looking to the northeast of the north side haul road ditch. The culvert, again, located approximately at the permit boundary of 8102 and 8203. There's erosion control matting that's been placed in the bottom. This is the after picture taken October 20th. Silt fences have been installed across the drainages.
Thank you. Could you please proceed to the next slide? And what is this has been displayed, or what's been displayed has been marked PSC Staff Exhibit 11. What is this document?
This is the haul road looking to the west, southwest. North side ditch again taken on October 20th after the repairs have been completed.
And does this also include, of course, what you indicated before, the silt fences and the matting?
That's correct.
Mr. Berg, what we've just been shown in PSC Staff Exhibits 10 and 11, if those efforts had been put into place, would NOV 1004 been issued?
No.
Mr. Berg, if what's been shown in PSC Staff Exhibits 10 and 11, if they had been put into place, the sediment piles that we noticed, would they have been smaller or larger in comparison if they had been put in place?
I'm going to object. He's speculating as to what.
Well, I think we'll need some more foundation on that.
Well, first off, it's my opinion that Mr. Berg is an expert. I think that his background has exhibited in that fashion. Essentially, I'm asking his opinion that if the best management practices have been put in place as staff had requested and as they had done through their abatement procedures, whether the sediment piles that we've seen in our PSC exhibits, whether they have been smaller or larger. I think he's open to offer that opinion.
Well, I think he needs some more further background on how he can make that determination.
Okay. Not giving a conclusion, could you reach a conclusion in that regard?
Yes.
And what would you substantiate that conclusion upon? What observations or what understanding?
That the water is slowed down, has a stable surface to run on. Also, the sediment, silt fences would stop the sediment prior to reaching the bottom of the culvert ditch where the culvert is located.
Is that... So, of course, Mr. Berg has testified as to his understanding of the technology that we're requesting. Is that adequate foundation for him to know?
Have any further objection, Mr. Biela?
Well, Your Honor, there's no way of knowing what might have happened given the rainfall events. So for him to testify, then his opinion X, Y, and Z would have happened had what he asserts should have been done, the BMPs. There's just absolutely no way of knowing that.
No.
And what would have occurred?
I think the question probably is a little misleading. perhaps the question might be framed in terms of what had likely happened under those circumstances of having the best practices. Is it likely, given the weather conditions that are normal? Something like that, Mr.?
Well, yeah, I think I'll rephrase your
own. Yeah.
Obviously, you provided testimony today, and we've offered a number of facts, including a rainfall event, best management procedures, and what you've seen as far as technology. Is it more probable than not that the sediment pile would have been smaller than what you observed on September 29th and 30th?
It is more probable that it would have been smaller.
I'm still going to object. He's still speculating as to what might have happened.
Speculating as to what?
What might have happened.
Yeah, I think under the way it was reworded, I'll overrule the objection and let it stand.
Mr. Berg, is there anything today that we've missed that you'd like to discuss? Commissions? I have no further questions.
Thank you, Mr. Gruen. Mr. Biella, do you have any questions of Mr. Berg?
Yes, Your Honor. He hasn't actually talked about it, but there, the Reclamation Division exhibit number, I'm looking for the September 30th inspection report. I guess that's number 16.
Is the code sections.
Oh, excuse me.
15 would be the September 30th inspection report. Is that what you're looking for?
Yes.
It's in evidence, so you may question on it.
Does he have a copy?
Do you have a copy up there?
I can provide him one.
Why don't you do that, please?
Marines, I'll give you all the exhibits. See, whatever.
Do you have Exhibit 15?
I do.
Mr. Biella, please.
Okay, Mike, if you look on page 2, be the the fourth paragraph, and then the last sentence. Okay, it says, although the September 9th storm contributed to the development of the erosion sedimentation of features, it appears that these features existed prior to September 9th storm, as evidenced by the sediment that was noted on the south side of the Hall Road on September 2nd, 2010 inspection report. Now, you use the words, it appears, so you are speculating, are you not?
I use the words appears a lot. It's just the way we write our reports.
Okay.
Well, the question, were you speculating?
I was drawing the conclusion off of the September 2nd with the sedimentation.
So did the word appears mean that is what you saw? It appeared to you?
I did not see it on September 2nd, no.
Oh, okay. Mr. Biella, please.
You previously testified that you did not inspect the North Ditch on September 2nd, is that correct?
Correct.
And, Mike, is it not true that disking, seeding, and mulching to establish a vegetative cover is considered a best management practice?
It is. Okay. And I also stated that in my testimony. Right.
Now, you've also stated that the sediment on the south side had to come from somewhere. But, again, you are speculating that it came from the North Ditch. Aren't I correct?
Drawing a conclusion from the south road ditch being stabilized and runoff water running away from the ditch.
But we have no evidence presented by the Reclamation Division as to the status of the north side ditch on September 2nd or prior to the rainfall event on September 9, do we?
No.
And is it also conceivable that that sedimentation, or at least a portion of that sedimentation on the south side, came from the south side ditches?
Without seeing any erosion and the concrete matting in place, possibly a small amount, but I'd be speculating.
And I believe you also earlier testified that other silt fences on another road did wash out during those rainfall events. Would that be correct?
Correct.
Nothing further, Your Honor.
Thank you, Mr. Biello. Commissioner Kramer, please. Do you have any questions?
Lack of a better, or yeah, with for lack of a better term, the gully exhibits. Had you ever noticed that feature prior to this event or this inspection?
No. Can I show you?
Sure.
Exhibit 4.
Exhibit 4 was actually taken on the 20th. I'm taking on the 29th.
Sure.
And this was sitting out of the pickup window. As you can see, you can't see the bottom of the ditch until you physically get out and walk over to the ditch.
So would you have had any reason to notice that ditch erosion or gully formation without getting out and first seeing an event like this or the results of an event?
Typically, no. I mean, because the sump on the south side, or the area that was acting as a sump on the south side of the road, like I said, it's typical maintenance for us to say it needs to be cleaned and maintained. That's nothing really out of the ordinary.
I want to ask, too, about the removal of the sediment. And this is an area that always concerns me a little bit, and that is, once it's possible, or once a company might seem it's possible that something like sediment could be used as evidence, is it common for them to remove it in the absence of the inspectors? And if so, does that lead to other possible speculation? Well, what I'm getting at is, in the early testimony, you talked about the south side, and
right,
you'd ask them to remove it. But then later, in the September 29th, you looked at the north side, and you see more what I'd consider evidence, or you see more silt or sediment. Is it common to have that removed when it seems possible, if not even probable, that an NOV might be issued? And what I'm getting at is it fair to judge the practices after an inspection as either being cooperative or uncooperative, depending on the perception or that an inspector might take? And I'm not being very clear, I'm afraid, but if they were to have removed it, would they not be running the risk of tampering, say, with evidence? And if they don't remove it, are they guilty? Could they be then presumed to be guilty of not removing it? That's a more hypothetical, but that's the point I'm trying to get to.
Okay. I guess on the south side, that was supposed to, we had instructed them to remove this area.
I understand that.
On the north side, we caught it late in the day. When I saw it, went home, went back up the next morning. It was still there. They did not remove it.
But they hadn't been asked either, had they?
What's that?
They hadn't been asked to remove.
They hadn't been asked. Because at that point on the 29th, after taking the pictures, you know, I had stated to Mr. Schmidt that I was going to go back to talk to Dean and Jim on the issue.
Okay, thanks. Just one other thing, and this is just over the words appearances, and you said you use them a lot. I mean, that's a common. I mean, isn't regulation you're based largely on your observations as an expert?
Correct.
And aren't appearances really the result of an observation?
Yeah.
Okay, I have nothing further.
It appears,
I understand. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Kramer. Commissioner Clark, please.
No
questions? Commissioner Koch, please.
Yeah, I have a few. I need to get a few things straight here, Mike. Can you cue up Exhibit 3 again, explain to me what direction that is and when you first saw what you saw there?
Exhibit 3?
Yep.
This is looking to the south.
Okay.
This photo was taken on the 29th, but I first observed this area on the 2nd.
Okay, when you looked at that area on the 2nd, what did it look like?
Very similar to this.
Okay, so
I don't have a photograph of that at that time.
All right, so on the 2nd, you observed this. I'm not an attorney, but it would seem to me that you could have issued an NOV just with that if the law says sedimentation, or is that incorrect?
That's incorrect.
Okay. Walk me through why you.
If you can see the kind of green line up here, where the crop edge is.
To the far north.
This area where the sediment is on has not been. Therefore, it was acting as a sediment sump. So this is just
so that's okay.
On overburden, which is okay.
So that's the nuance. It's overburden. It's sitting on top of not untouched soil.
It's sediment sitting on top of overburden.
Interesting. When you look at that Exhibit 3, does that concrete run underneath? I mean, is that all the way through, or did something break away there? Or, you know, where the topsoil is sitting on?
I believe it's all the way through, but that would be something.
Okay, well, I just trying.
So
when you looked at this in September 2nd with, I'm assuming somebody with the mine was with you.
Correct.
You said that this was a concern, right?
Correct.
Wouldn't it seem logical that then the company would then figure out where this is coming from and go do some investigative work?
I would think so.
But that's not your role. You come out and do the inspection, give them your thoughts.
Correct.
Okay. Then, can you jump to Exhibit 8 again? Exhibit 8. I think I had a question on that. Yeah, Exhibit 8, please.
Sorry, I'm going off the numbers on the
bottom. Oh, sure. So how deep do you suppose that gully is?
In the deepest part there, it's probably 24, probably 2 foot.
Okay.
I mean, we didn't, you know, take a tape measure.
So one of the questions, I guess, and this is maybe they'll object to my question, but how long do you think something like this would take to happen based on your experience? I mean, I know it could be one big rain event, but when was the last time you may have ever looked at this area?
I can't remember the last time I did.
Okay.
You know, like I told Commissioner Kramer, it's not visible from the road, and, you know, you've got 48,000 acres to cover up there.
Okay. So, yeah. And then Exhibit 4, perhaps, again. All right, walk me through again what direction you're facing and what you see here.
This is facing to the north, northwest, actually. You can see the weed line approximately in the center of the photo there. This has been the area that has been reclaimed. When they constructed the hollow road, they stripped into that area for the ditch problem. Sediment comes along here. They're in the center of the floor.
So this is a sediment sitting on top of topsoil.
Correct.
So in your opinion as an inspector, does it really matter to you where it came from? The fact is it's sitting on top of topsoil.
It was cause and effect. The cause of the
But if a violation, potential violation takes place, the fact that it's sitting on top of topsoil, that's the violation. Where it came from and all those other factors, you could issue a violation based on that.
Well, I thought your testimony, Mr. Berg, was that it's only a violation if it's in violation of best practices, wasn't that? No?
Well, that becomes the root of the whole thing, I think. You know, that's enough for now. I think I'll ask the next questions to the next folks.
You can respond to my question, please.
Sediment on top of topsoil can be a violation. You know, we do have to take samples of that and such to make sure it is sediment or soil or contaminations. One of the issues is that is not clearly defined in the Century Code and the Administrative Code. It's not a clear rule, such as the erosion one is.
Sure. Thanks. That's all I'd have, Your Honor.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Mr. Grumman, do you have any further questions of Mr. Berg?
No, Your Honor.
No further questions. Mr. Biella?
No, Your Honor.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Berg. Let's take about a five-minute recess here.
Okay. You know, is it my imagination? Does it feel like the air conditioning? It's hot. And I kind of like it cool. I like it.
I love it.
Some people probably aren't quite as comfortable as I am. Because I swear to God, there's cold air going on. Do you feel cool? Yeah.
No, I'm not cold, but I like it.
Yeah, I do too, but I'm sure not everybody's as comfortable.
Well, it's getting too warm in here.
Yeah. Well, this old building that long, they do their best to sort of regulate it all. We can imagine how many times it's been altered.
Yeah, because I mean,